Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, what the heck? Let's start with one of your phone calls here on this Open Lines Friday here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Yeah, we had a very fast-moving statewide show on Thursday's Montana Talks. We had the Republican Senate president in the Montana State Senate, and we had the Democrat House Minority Whip join us for the full hour, snuck in as many of your, you know, phone calls, your questions, comments as we could. But today we've got phone lines open for the full hour. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. But thankfully, we've already got a caller on the phone lines who wants to tell us about a bill in the Montana legislature, as, of course, the Montana legislature goes back into action for the second half of the legislative session. Diane Heikkila is the county treasurer in Cascade County, Montana. And, Diane, I understand you wanted to tell our listeners about House Bill 125, I think it is.
It's actually House Bill 165, and it's removing notaries for Montana titles. And they're really pushing the fact that they'll be able to do electronic titles in Montana once they remove the notary. It'll make things a lot easier for the Montana residents. But what I see, I do agree with that. It would make it easier. But what I see is it's going to create more fraud than we already have. We already have to deal right now with customers coming into the office and they have forged signatures. And of course, we're pretty diligent on catching them. But once there is no notary, you can sign off on anybody's vehicle. And what I'm really worried about is you've got your elderly or vulnerable people out there, and they may have a drug-using kid, adult kid, friend, whatever, somebody that doesn't care about anyone but themselves. They're in this, you know, under the influence. All they have to do is go in, take that title, sign that title off, go into the treasurer's office, transfer it into their name, go back and take the car, and it becomes a civil suit. And it's like, why do we need to burden the police department and the civil courts in trying to fix all these problems for vehicles that are being stolen? I may be wrong, you know, maybe I'm carrying it too far, but I don't think so.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's like
it would make the vehicle purchasing process easier because, like, you know, you don't have to run over and have a notary sign it. But, you know, for something major like a vehicle purchase, spending just a few minutes to have a notary sign off on something. Yeah,
exactly.
What they're
pushing is, in the rural communities, it's harder to find a notary.
Sure.
I agree with that, but it's like, you know, we are rural. There's banks all over the place. It's like, there's notaries in banks.
And that's where I went. I ran into a bank to notarize one for, I had to co-sign on one of our kids getting a new and a used pickup here recently. Hey, thanks for calling in. Hold that thought. Quick break. Back after this.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Drill, you've heard drill, baby, drill, but what about mine, baby, mine? That's what Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, President Trump's Interior Secretary, just posted about 1 hour ago following the big news involving a Montana coal mine. That's right. We're making mining in Montana great again, thanks to Donald J. Trump and our congressional delegation as well. I'll tell you about that story and much more. But the phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. I want to thank Diane Heikkila, the Cascade County Treasurer, for being our first caller into the show on this Open Lines Friday. You know, you see so many so many headlines coming out of the legislature or tweets, posts on X, for example, where this bill, that bill, and that one caught my eye. I saw a bill about how they were going to remove the requirement to have a notary sign off on title changes to get your vehicles titled. And that was one of those ones where, you know, I wasn't opposed to it or in support of it necessarily. It just caught my eye. I said, oh, that one's interesting. And so, Diane, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. That brings up our next caller. We've got Tracy in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Tracy, what's your thoughts on that House Bill 165, I think it was?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I was a notary for many, many years, and I still have everything. And it is not hard for a notary to actually go out to someone's home. They may charge a small fee, but they can meet you anywhere. It is not a problem to have a notary sign off on your things. And I'm with her. I have seen way too much in my 40 years of banking. I would not pass that bill. It is very easy to do exactly what she said they do.
Yeah, interesting. And I appreciate, though, that she did mention that, you know, some of the concern is out there in rural areas. It's so hard to find, you know, it might be harder to find a notary, you know, even, you know, especially out in the real remote areas where you don't have, where you may not have a bank. But, you know, even, you know, the smallest of towns oftentimes at least have one bank or something like that.
But you know what, Aaron? Like when I left banking, I still have my notary. So if someone calls and says, hey, could you help us out with this notary? You can go do it. You are still a notary. So it doesn't mean you have to be at a bank or someone at banking. There, you can call your Chamber of Commerce and say, who are our up-to-date legal notaries? I need one. And you can arrange with them to meet them. It's not a problem at all.
Well, and it's another opportunity for somebody out in that rural community. You know, if you're the spouse of a roughneck out there, you know, trying to rock the Bakken, you know, hey, maybe there's a little side hustle for you there.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for the call, Tracy. Great to hear from you. And again, thanks to Diane for calling in as well. 406-294-0970 is the number. That's part of the fun, is you never know what we're going to talk about. You never know what people want to talk about. But I was talking with Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, earlier this morning, and he was saying, God, there's something like 800 different bills that have been moving just through the Montana House of Representatives alone. And we touched on some of that yesterday. Obviously, the big one, property tax relief, and some of the other stuff. But 800 different bills. So yeah, that's one that, you know, a lot of folks may not have even heard a thing about yet. So I appreciate those phone calls. Mine, baby, mine. You guys have heard of Drill, Baby, Drill. Secretary Doug Burgum, President Trump's Interior Secretary, just sent that out. Mine, baby, mine. And this was the news that he was sharing. The Department of the Interior announced the approval of a federal mining plan modification by the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement for the Spring Creek Mine in Bighorn County, Montana. Now operated by the Navajo Transitional Energy Company, this decision extends the mine's operational life by 16 years, enabling the production of approximately 39.9 million tons of federal coal and supporting 280 full-time jobs. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum said, quote, the previous administration waged a full-on assault against U.S. energy under President Trump's leadership. We are reversing that course, unleashing American energy, and ensuring our nation's security and prosperity. What a contrast here. What a contrast here, again, that we're already seeing. You know, speaking of Bighorn County, Bighorn County, home to the Crow Nation, the Crow Reservation, right up the road from Decker is Lodgegrass, Montana. We did a live show from Lodgegrass last year, got to chat with just some incredible, remarkable leaders in Lodgegrass who've been taking the fight to the drug cartels and building their community. Think about the contrast here. The Trump administration is unleashing job opportunities, high-wage job opportunities, too, not just selling potato chips to tourists that are driving through. High-wage job opportunities, a huge percentage of which in the past, by the way, tribal job opportunities have come from coal mining. The Trump administration and Senator Daines, Senator Sheehy, Congressman Zinke, Congressman Downing, all of them are praising this decision by the Trump Interior Department, by the way, with quotes of their own that were announced yesterday. They're unleashing American energy. They're making mining in Montana great again. What did Joe Biden and John Tester unleash on Lodgegrass, on Bighorn County? They attacked coal mining jobs. And they unleashed the Mexican drug cartels and the fentanyl and the meth. Phone lines are open, 294-0970.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Not only are we broadcasting live statewide on the airwaves, but I'm playing around with this whole Spaces thing on X. So you can just push a button and then you can start talking live on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. And it's kind of fun because you can actually see who is listening in. Whereas right now we know there are, man, tens of thousands of listeners all across Montana listening into this show. But I thought, hey, let's share our statewide radio show with our friends on X right now as well. So they're hearing you right now, too. But if you're listening on X or you're listening on the radio, give us a call, 406-294-0970, if you got something you want to talk about. I'm very excited to see we've got Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle on the phone line. Stand by, Jerry. You're going to be up after our next caller. Yesterday, we had so many phone calls coming in, I knew we weren't going to get a chance to get to everybody. But Jerry had called my cell phone instead of the studio number. And so I said, Jerry, call the studio. He's like, yeah, I know I hit the wrong button. But that's all right, because we probably wouldn't have had time to get to his call given how fast the hour moved anyway. So now we're going to be pleased to hear from him today because he wants to weigh in on the property tax relief debate. So looking forward to hearing what Jerry has to say. First, though, we've got Mark in Fort Benton, Montana. Mark, what's your thoughts on this bill to no longer require a notary?
Well, hello, Aaron, and thanks for your wonderful show. And I want to say this. I've been in real estate for many, many years, over 45 years. I've been a notary. I was a notary for 35 years, and I retired from that. But let me tell you, if you had someone get a scam and fraudulently turned in, you know, a signed deed that was to your home or your farm, can you imagine what you're going to lose? There's a long civil suit and you know, just clog up the courts and civil suits and everything over that. So I'm in agreement with the previous two callers that bill 165, I think it was, should not be passed.
So it's a temporary speed bump that could potentially prevent a major train wreck is what it sounds like you're saying based off your experience.
Absolutely. It would be horrendous if there became a lot of fraud in real estate transactions, in, you know, residential, commercial, agriculture properties, everything. It would just be a nightmare. So, and for now, until they can, you know, correct anything to do with fraudulent online notaries or anything else that's online that you worry about with your banking and everything, I just would not like to see that bill pass till we can have a 99.99 assurance that there's going to be no fraud in notarizing documents.
It does make you wonder how often, you know, mortgage fraud or vehicle title fraud occurs. Sounds like from the notaries that are calling in that this happens a lot in the Cascade County Treasurer with vehicles. But, you know, I know on some of the national radio shows, you will hear them advertise for these, you know, mortgage protection services in case somebody, you know, steals your mortgage or something like that. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if we have any figures on how much this actually occurs here in Montana. Mark, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you in beautiful Fort Benton, Montana. And I see, by the way, I pulled up House Bill 165 on the legislative website. I see the bill sponsor is Representative Ken Walsh out of Twin Bridges, Montana. So maybe Representative Walsh is listening in and could fill us in on why he feels this legislation is so important. I'd be interested in hearing his perspective as well. Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle. Jerry, I hope you've been having a good transmittal break, although I'm sure it was no break for you. You probably kept working all week long anyway, right?
It's been fantastic, Aaron. We changed wheels on the sprayer the other day, put wheels back on a tractor that we had up for harvest for pulling a grain cart. So what a great change of pace.
That's good. You know, isn't it amazing how when you're stuck at a desk or you're stuck, you know, arguing about bills and politics and laws, how refreshing it is to just go back to working with equipment and working with your hands for a little while, getting some fresh air?
Absolutely. You know, when I was in college, that was what I loved. Spring break, everybody would take off for Timbuktu and go on vacation, and I hustled home as fast as I could to the farm and jumped into a truck or a tractor, and I thought, wow, this is the best.
Yeah, and it really is. So, but some people will scoff at it. Yeah, we never got to go on vacations. But you know what? Life, it's a beautiful life you get to live out there. And so I'm glad you understand the blessing that you've got. So what's your take on the property tax reform? It sounds like Republicans, Democrats, and the governor are all supporting a homestead tax exemption or property tax relief that could lower residential property rates by about 15%. What's your take?
Well, my take is a little different, Aaron, as maybe you might guess, but what kind of piqued my interest this morning was that you were just talking about the Spring Creek mine down there and the renewal of that mining permit, and that's what we need is to grow the property tax base, the taxable value base, and that was a conversation that was, or the part of the conversation that was really missing yesterday when you were visiting with Representative Carlin and Senator Regeer was we're talking about property tax relief, but there's really no tax relief in any of the bills that are currently being considered. It's just tax shifting from one class of property to the other. So some residential relief, but it gets shifted more back into the energy sector and some of the commercial properties and things like that. So the dollars collected are still all the same. And what I wanted to hear yesterday and what I've been reminding people when we debate these bills on the floor is the pickle we're in was started 50 or 60 years ago when we started to dismantle our timber industry, when we started to shut down our mines, when we shut down Coal Strip 1 and 2, when we shut down the Corret plant in Billings, the plant in Sydney that produced electricity. Mm-hmm. We've been destroying our property tax base for decades.
Yeah.
And so
now you say we, you say we, but of course it's they, them, not we. We were defending that as a country, essentially.
Yeah. So, yeah, the left, essentially, the radical left, the environmental crazies have been doing this for a long time. And then in what happens is you've got a big pie, the property tax pie. So when you start taking out major slices of property that paid taxes, that whole pie didn't get smaller. The pieces that are left just had to get bigger. So residential was picking up a bigger part of the tab.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Commercial taking a bigger part of the tab.
Which is why we've got to fundamentally. Which is why we have to fundamentally rebuild our industrial base, especially in the more rural parts of Montana. It's easy to sit back and say, okay, look at how great our economy is. We're number two wage growth in the country. Look at the budget surplus. But again, that's because of the residential population growth and expansion that's driving those numbers. But, you know, we've had some good news. The governor touted Brixtal Defense setting up shop in Glendive. You've got an engineering firm setting up shop in Lewistown. We've had gun industries flocking to Montana, you know, that we've seen down at the SHOT Show. But we've got to make our mining great again. We've got to make our timber industry great again. And that's what can carry the bulk load for the tax base instead of dumping it all onto the backs of we the people. But yeah, left-wing federal judges
And Democrat policies for decades have been destroying Montana's industrial base and tearing down union jobs, and then and therefore tearing down that, that tax base as well.
Yeah. Are you still there?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Thanks. Well, a recent example is we just passed through the legislature a bill to help boost beginning teachers' pay and retain teachers, and the price tag on that bill was about $70 million. And when that bill was being passed, I thought, what a stark comparison. President Biden and John Tester just killed the Keystone Pipeline that would have provided $60 to $70 million every year for the next 50 years in property taxes, and we just flushed that down the toilet.
Yeah.
And it could have been used to offset this expense and invested in our education.
You're exactly right.
People need to remember what they're doing when they're creating and creating or destroying industries.
And then you see the billions of dollars going to the green scam, going to political operatives like Stacey Abrams, and just a tiny fraction of that could have fixed the St. Mary's Irrigation Project. Representative Jerry Schillinger, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Greatly appreciated. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, doing great.
Aaron, House Bill 413, we've talked about that before, and I'm very glad to see that it made it through the House, and now it's in front of the Senate. To remedy the long-standing abuse of voting privileges by non-domiciliary students. You know, a kid's here for 30 days, an out-of-state student doesn't know the voters or doesn't know the candidates, doesn't know the issues, and is told by his professors and told by liberal operatives that, oh, all you have to do is be in the state for 30 days and you can vote. And because we've got same-day registration and voting, you know, the election officials not able to determine whether or not the kid is lying. So I don't know how many of these kids vote in both states, but they certainly...
How do we know if they're not voting in California and voting in Bozeman? No, you're exactly right.
Exactly.
Hey, Tom, can you stick around? I got to run to another break here in about 30 seconds. Can you stick around after that? Okay, good. Because before I get to our next caller, I got a question I want to ask you. It deals with... research federal grants on our college campuses. Since you're bringing up college campuses, did you guys hear about this $3 million grant that got canceled to MSU? This one really gets on my nerves. It's the Minerva program, $3 million to study climate change in Africa. And it was a DOD grant. That's one of two that got canceled. But there's another angle to this story that I want to get Tom's take on, and it is the outrageous fees that are being charged.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Wildfire was center stage this week at a Senate Agriculture Subcommittee hearing when North Dakota U.S. Senator John Hoeven questioned Mega Fire Action CEO Matt Weiner on the role livestock grazing plays in reducing catastrophic wildfire risk.
Livestock grazing can have both in terms of promoting more fire-resistant, healthy landscapes, of course, at the same time, really helping our ranchers.
One great point that this brings up is that while the bill is called the Fix Our Forest Act, this is really about all types of landscapes impacted by fire. We think about chaparral landscapes that were impacted in the Los Angeles fires recently, and absolutely grazing landscapes like you have in North Dakota. One of the best tools that we have is grazing. We're really thrilled that the Fix Our Forest Act includes provisions to streamline authorities and approvals for targeted grazing projects, allowing cattlemen access to public lands for grazing in fire-prone areas.
And it's not just cattle playing a role in wildfire prevention. That's the message American Sheep Industry Association President Ben LaFelt shared with the U.S. Senate Ag Committee a few weeks ago.
We've got wildfire control going on in California. That should be front and center in this town. We've got noxious weed work that we do in Montana. We've got brush control that both sheep and goats are doing.
According to the National Public Lands Council, livestock grazing can reduce the risk of wildfire ignition by 45%. I'm Wayne Northland.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm glad Tom and Bozeman stood with us. I'm glad Tom stuck around for a couple more minutes here before I get to Steve and Ballantyne, and then we got more callers on the phone lines here. So, Tom, switching tracks, speaking of our university campuses, I said this on the radio yesterday. I was talking with our friend Jeremy Carl, who lives in Bozeman, senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, and I said, look, Doge is doing incredible work right now and ending this fraud, waste, and abuse. Some of these left-wing professors on these college campuses are trying to freak people out. It's going to be the end of research dollars. You know, there's millions of dollars going to MSU and UM for research. And I made the point, look, there is going to continue to be millions of dollars going to UM and MSU for research. The good, important projects will continue to get funded, and the stupid projects will not. Case in point, a $3 million Department of Defense Climate Change in Africa grant study. Yeah, that thing is getting cut. That is a waste of our DOD dollars. But that left-wing professor was out there protesting Trump, protesting Elon Musk. The other angle to that story, though, Tom, I was asking Jeremy Carl, I said, if the private sector administers a federal grant, if the nonprofit sector administers a federal grant, I think the fees they collect, the administrative fees they collect, I saw it on X a couple of weeks ago, is like 10 to 15%. The MSU exponent has a story. And they're saying, if I read this right, that the administrative fees that are being collected, correct me if I'm wrong here, 45%. So not only are they getting millions of dollars for the grant itself, but then they're tacking on a 45% administrative fee. That just seems outrageous. Why can the private sector and even the nonprofit sector deliver at a much lower administrative fee rate?
Exactly. And academia is part of this whole problem. That beast Weingarten, head of the teachers union, they couldn't care less about the education of students. Our grades keep falling and falling, and 25% of eighth graders in the country are proficient in mathematics or reading. Their answer to everything is throw more money, power and money. And if you throw more money to these liberal professors who are researching inane topics that, you know, that serve no purpose whatsoever. They're just trying to justify their existence, and they're just trying to line their pockets at the taxpayers' expense. So they want these, this ties right into 413. Hey, all of you students, you go vote and make sure you vote for all the liberals, all the Democrats. That's why we've got to put an end to that. All of this corruption that we know has been endemic in the system for the last 3 years.
No, exactly right. And the connection you're making here, which is like, we've always talked about how George Soros is funding these community organizer activist groups to then get out the vote for the Democrat Party. They were just providing the seed money. Hans Wiese, George Soros, they're just providing the seed money. The rest of the money came from you and me and our taxpayer dollars. That's what Doge is exposing. They're using our money against us. This liberal professor at MSU pushing the climate change alarmist agenda, they then use that liberal professor's propaganda to shut down the very coal mining jobs and the very timber industry jobs that pay the guy's freaking salary in the first place. Tom, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Next up, let's go to Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. Okay, after the Deckert announcement of the Deckert coal mine, okay, it was on one of the news breaks this morning, and I just sitting there scratching my head. Okay, you got Tester that wouldn't vote to help keep the, trying to shut down coal strip. You only got it half shut down, but, you know, could stand to, you know, to burn coal in Montana, and they said on this news break that one of the purchasers of the Deckert coal mine is the state of Washington. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're burning coal out in Washington, but yet they wanted to shut down and the coal fire plants in Coal Strip, and Tester's on their side, and why don't we burn the coal here? They don't like coal. Why don't we just burn the coal here and just truck the state of Washington some electricity? What's wrong with that?
Or just cut off Washington and keep it here in Montana altogether, right? Yeah, just say, no, you guys are too good for our coal. You guys are too good for our electricity. You guys don't think you need electricity anymore. So, yeah, you know what? We'll just keep our electricity here in Montana. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's interesting. I didn't see that report. But I would say that I'm glad that at least one of the TV stations is covering this very big news story, this very good news story about Trump and the Republican congressional delegation keeping a Montana high-wage job coal mine up and running. Because I saw one of the TV station websites this morning didn't even have a story about it. But of course they had the daily tariff war fear porn in the news. You know, they have to spend every waking moment trying to tell you how bad they want you to think Donald Trump is. And then when he delivers for 300 high-wage jobs in Montana, crickets. Steve, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. Who do we got next up on the phone lines? We got Josh in Wolf Point listening to KVCK. Josh, great to hear from you.
Yeah, I just calling about the people are wondering how they can keep raising property taxes and you have to pay every year.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's because it's actually the government owns the land and you don't own the land. The property tax is a rent you pay.
Sure as heck feels like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if people are getting, people have been getting property taxed off their homes since the 1990s. I mean, I remember it as a kid. I mean, some of my favorite memories as a kid were spending time on Lion Mountain. We would walk down that gravel road, cross the train tracks, and go, you know, swimming in that little cove. And the only other thing that was there was the deer peeing in the lake. Because we were like, the deer's peeing in the lake. You know, little kid stuff, right? That was the only thing that was down there at the time. And how many families, you know, maybe they even lived in a mobile home near Flathead Lake, but they got property taxed out of there because you're being taxed on the value of the home instead of what you actually paid for your home. And so it gets to feel like, well, wait, do we really own our homes? Do we really own our property if we can be taxed off of it by the government? Yeah, any other thoughts there, Josh? Oh, okay, I guess Josh made his point. All right, Josh, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. I was going to ask Josh a follow-up question as well. Josh, you sound younger than me. I don't know, maybe we're the same age. You sound younger, though, but I wonder if Josh was a kid in the 80s or the 90s on the High Line. Because I was seeing some of the property tax headlines this morning, and it reminded me of this song by Paula Abdul back in the, I think it was the late 80s. Yeah, you know, right? One step forward, two steps back. Look, if you live in Missoula, Montana, or Bozeman, this is what's going to happen. Is I fully believe, I'm confident that the Montana legislature and the Montana governor will deliver property tax relief. They will deliver a homestead exemption. You will get one step forward, maybe a 15% reduction in your property taxes from the state. But where do the bulk of the property taxes you pay go to and come from? Your local city and county governments, and especially the schools. Bozeman, NBC Montana has a headline. They've got more levies they want to pass in Bozeman. Apparently with all the growth, they don't think they're growing enough. They still need more of your money. Billings is wondering what to do. Well, if they give a tax break, where do we find the $7 million? Well, somehow you found 20 some million dollars to pay for that city hall after it came in, you know, way beyond the initial bid price. But you can't find it now. I mean, Missoula, you took one step forward. You got a property tax rebate from the legislature last go around. And then the city took you one step back, raised your taxes by 16%. And then the county raised your taxes by another 4% and took you one step back. So again, what did we see after last legislative session? The legislature, one step forward. And then the city and the county government in Missoula, and two steps back. That's why the Paula Abdul song came to mind there. One step forward, two steps back, because I think we're going to see it once again. You're going to see the Montana legislature and the governor deliver on property tax reform, one step forward, and then two steps back, because some of those local governments, the Democrats running Missoula County, they're going to take it two steps back. Just like we told you yesterday, they raised taxes in the city of Missoula 16%, and yet still, the liberal mayor of Missoula has a $4 million shortfall. They will never have enough of your money. They will always want more of your money. They don't care if you get taxed out of your home.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, no, it wasn't, Joe. No, it wasn't. Joe Dooling, is that you? Oh, man, we could have some fun chatting about this one over a Cattle Baron cigar or a Tatanka cigar. Joe in Helena messaged us. I was talking about this Minerva program that got on my Minerva's too. Joe says, it was U of M, not MSU. Go Cats. First off, funny sidebar. The basketball tournaments, you know, the March Madness is going to start. They do Selection Sunday this week. It's funny. You read the Bozeman papers. The Cats are going to the dance. They won the Big Sky Conference. Well, the Lady Cats did. Apparently, it was a nail-biter. It was a one-point win. The Lady Cats beat the Lady Grizz. So the Lady Cats, they won the Big Sky Conference. But then you go read the Missoula news, and it's the Grizz won the Big Sky. They're going to the big dance because the Grizz men won. So if you're a Cat fan, you got something to cheer about. If you're a Grizz fan, you got something to cheer about. Likely you also have something to boo about as well. I know what you're thinking, Joe. Joe, you're thinking of the democracy. The $6 million grant to promote democracy, the DOD grant that was going to the Mansfield Center in Missoula, that's the one you're thinking of. That one got canceled. And even if it was a good program, is that really what our Department of Defense dollars need to be being spent on? I mean, we've got troops that didn't even have meat on their lunch plates. I had to pay for my own uniforms when I was in the military. I had to pay for my own lunches when I was, you know, gone with the military. But some overpaid left-wing college professor gets a $3 million grant to study climate change in Africa. Joe, the Minerva grant, the $3 million climate change in Africa DOD grant, that's an MSU one. The MSU exponent has a piece that's at the Bozeman Daily Chronicle right now. That was one of only two grants that were canceled. The other one, I'm not familiar with that program, but if it's a good program, I think it'll eventually get restored. But again, the overwhelming amount of the good research that's being done on our college campuses is going to continue to happen. But this stupid Hopi climatey changey crap is getting canceled, as it should. Anyway, let's go back into the phone lines. We got KB west of Missoula. KB, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Aaron, we always look forward to our Friday days off so we can join in the fun. Thank goodness you brought up our least favorite subject on the property taxes, Judas Priest. A renowned realtor here in Missoula that's been in the business a long time, he's very successful, told me that the University of Montana pulls the chain on the property taxes. They run the show.
So
another, well, I, you know, I don't know, but I don't know. I don't know.
What comes to mind, and maybe I'm on a different track here. When I think about in Missoula, what's one of the wealthier neighborhoods? It's the University District,
right?
Bozeman
right.
too, right? So our wealth goes to them. in state taxpayer dollars, in tuition dollars, in federal taxpayer dollars, and then you've got a lot of wealth that these professors have. And a lot of them do a lot of good things, right? But what we then see is the wealth
of
the...
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, then the wealth of the, and the power...
A lot of them do good things. Well, and you made a comment about a grant going outside the state of Montana. I have nothing against Africa. But here's the scoop. Here's what's going on with today's politicians and the money. Nobody's pulling them back and reining them in and say, hey, what do you want that money for? And where's it going? Well, why don't you invite us to hook along and see how well you spend it? It's becoming a regular poop show.
That's right.
Out of control.
That's why what Elon Musk and Trump and Doge are doing right now is so important. And I think so many people are just finally waking up and realizing just how bad it really is. Actually, it's worse than any of us even thought before. But the point is like, okay, so all of our wealth, all of this wealth goes to these university districts. And then they've got more political power now because of the gerrymandered legislative redistricting. And then what do they do with that wealth? They push this climate change agenda. They push this woke, radical, left-wing, transgender agenda. And then they tell us, oh, you can't have your Second Amendment rights while you're on our campus here. And they use our dollars against us so many times. It's just outrageous. All right. And then now they go kicking and screaming because these overpaid left-wing climate change professors are afraid they might not be able to afford in the very places they drove up the cost of housing in. Let's see. Who do we got next? We got about a minute to go. Lucas in Kalispell. This must be Representative Lucas Schubert. Is that you?
Yes, it is. Just wanted to call in to give a little bit of an update about how the legislature is going. You know, on property taxes, I introduced a bill that would basically try to make it so that in order for levy elections at the local level to pass, they need at least 35% voter turnout or take place on an even-numbered primary or general where there is more voter turnout. Unfortunately, it didn't end up passing. But there's still some property tax stuff working its way through the system. Some of the other stuff that I did. One thing that's in the Senate currently is a bill to move the municipal elections from odd-numbered years to even-numbered years.
Oh, that's so got to happen. That one's got to happen. Yeah. Man. Hey, Representative Schubert, we're out of time for today. But, man, call back in Monday. Let's even schedule a time if we have to get you back on, because that one you just talked about would be critical to save some property taxes for sure. Thanks for calling in. ZipRecruiter.